Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hi there, I'm Lynette, and this is Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Samira Umat in the studio. Award-winning Dr. Umat, can I say that? One of the 50 women in women leaders in medicine. Again, for the second year. I love that you made the list.
Yeah.
Way to go, award-winning Dr. Umat.
Well, thank you, Lynette. I'm humbled, honored, grateful, appreciative, all of the above.
Very good.
And, just feel blessed.
Yes, I wanted to point that out if you missed it. She is, once again, one of the 50 top women in leaders in medicine and for 2024. So here we go. Let's hit 2025, three in a row.
No pressure. That's what the team said to me, too. Hey, let's go get 2025. And I go, yes.
Yes, please.
I said, okay.
This is Leading Edge Medicine, and we have one more hour. This is hour number two. You can call in with your questions. If you just joined us, we'd love to hear from you today at 206-421-5757. Dr. Mixon, right before the break, you were talking about brand new Think Factor for cognition. What else is going on?
Well, that got me thinking.
That's good. Always thinking.
Oh, you're good today.
He is always thinking.
That's right. So, so we came up with something for the, for the people over 40 that are developing age-related cognitive decline, because everybody's brain slows down with age and we start losing some capacities. Hopefully, very few of us will become overtly demented, but, dementia is kind of the extreme, and even normal aging results in changes in our cognitive abilities. So, I really wanted to help that. And Think Factor seems to be something that'll do a very nice job for us. So I'm happy with that one. But that got me thinking about what else can we do? Mm. We start off where we start off, and then at some point we start slowing down. But is there a way to start off at a higher level?
Mm.
There's the next question.
Yeah.
And what the literature is telling us is that if we can supplement pregnant women with DHA. Now, this is one of the two components of omega-3 fatty acids, DHA and EPA. They don't need the EPA so much, but the DHA makes up about 80% of the brain's mass. And so if mothers are not really having robust blood levels of DHA, their kiddies can't get it.
Mm.
A child's brain at birth is about one-fourth, about 25% the size of its adult volume. So we start off with a little brain, but by the time we're 5 years old, we have grown that brain to 80% of its adult size. So it's gone from 25 to 80% in that next four and a half to five years. So what can we do to enhance that? Well, it turns out that just giving mom DHA during her pregnancy increases a child's attention span and some factors of cognitive and executive function when they're 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, which is really kind of interesting. And that's just giving it to them in the beginning when that brain is forming the first 25%. That's ignoring what happens from birth till five. So I said, well, wait a second. If that time is when the brain is growing from 25 to 80% of its adult volume, shouldn't we be adding something to help those kids?
Yes.
And, of course, that's what I did with my daughter, who's now just turned 12. I fed her mom EPA and DHEA because I didn't know in those days it was just the DHEA she was going to need. She delivered me a baby girl who is at the 95th percentile in size, but part of that just because daddy here is big.
Kind of tall. Not big, and, tall.
Yeah. And, but we fed her omega-3s from the time she was born. She just learned to love the taste of fish oil.
Okay.
And she'd go to the fridge and get it out and take a swig every day, you know? And so she grew up on this stuff. Well, it turns out when it was time for her to start kindergarten, we were looking at a school that only accepts children in the top 2 to 3%.
Wow.
So they required we take her to get an IQ test when she was 4.
Wow.
Well, since Mandarin was my daughter's first language and English her second language, what the psychologist told us was, well, I know she's at least in the top 2%, so she's qualifies for the school. He said, I don't know. She might be significantly higher than the top 2%. She could be in the top 1%. But some of the answers she only knew in Mandarin. She didn't know the words in English. And he said, my Mandarin's not good enough to tell.
Wow.
So I can tell you she's in the at least above the top 3, probably top 2 or above. So whether that because she was born with her mother's smart brain instead of her daddy's, or did we actually boost her with her omega-3s while her brain was growing to 80% of its adult volume? I'm going to guess it's a combination. Partly I see her mommy's brain in her, and partly I see, you know, the effect of providing her with the stuff she knows for growing brains. Then I found studies that say, these were studies only done on kids between 7 and 12. But these kids were given lutein and zeaxanthin only.
Okay.
But lutein zeaxanthin supplementation in children between 7 and 12 dramatically increased every aspect of their brain function.
Wow.
Okay. All they did 9 different cognitive tests on these kids, and in all 9 cognitive domains, they outstripped the kids that did not get the lutein zeaxanthin, and they were kids in the same classes. So they were not different economic groups, different racial groups, and so on. They just gave half the kids in the classes. They did 100 kids, 99 kids finished the study, and the kids getting the zeaxanthin had better cognitive skills in every range. So I said, well, damn, I got to make a supplement for kids, you know, over 5.
Yes, absolutely.
And then I've got studies now that show that giving even late adolescents, 17, 18-year-olds, the same thing I actually designed for the 40 and up year-olds, it increased theirs, their brain function.
Okay.
Then I also found studies that show that we're in our 50s, our blood supply to our brain is decreasing. But resveratrol increases blood supply to our brain in our 50s in a dose-dependent manner. The higher, even 75 milligrams a day will give you a measurable increase in blood flow, but the higher the dose, the higher the blood flow. So I take 1,000 milligrams a day instead of 75. I want to keep my aging brain well supplied with blood. So it turns out, as I've been putting this together, I'm proposing to my team that we make a cognitive supplement family of supplements that start with pregnant women and go all the way to your 90s. And based on where you are in your development and age, we would start you on this, and then we give you that, and then we change it, and then we change it again, and we change it again for each stage of life so that we can maximize America's brain function from birth to death.
There you go. Brain factor. 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's right.
All right. That's exciting.
Isn't that kind of interesting?
Yes.
Now, it's going to take us a while to put all that together, to get in manufacturing, to get it all, you know, all the approvals, et cetera.
So it won't be ready next week.
It won't be ready next week. I'm hoping early 25.
Okay.
I should have the whole, I'll get the Think Factor will be rolled out this year. Probably the supplement for moms.
Okay.
Also this year. But then we'll start with the baby supplements and all the others through the first half of next year. So we'll get the whole thing put together.
I love it. So. All right. Brain Factor coming to you in 2025.
Well, Brain Factor was already taken. So
oh, it was.
So
okay.
We have Think Factor.
Think
Factor.
Oh, like it better. Right. Like it better.
But, you know, we may do something like Smart Kid, you know. And what grandparents aren't going to buy?
Smart Kid for their
Smart
grandkids.
Smart Kid for their grandkids.
You know it. All right. Okay, the phones are blinking. Let's go to the phones, and we're headed to Lacey first with Dale on the line. Hi, Dale.
Hello, Dale.
Hi. It's good to talk to you guys. I just wanted to take and find out what's a good blood pressure medication, because the ones that they've got me on right now are not doing the job. As I've been sitting here listening to your program, I've gone from 155 at 95 at 65 as pulse to 160, well, from 165, 63 to 61, and then all the way up to 183 to 92.
What are you on? 59. What are you taking?
I am on losartan and spironolactone.
Okay.
I'm on 100 milligrams of losartan twice a day and spironolactone 25 milligrams once a day.
Okay, doctors are going into their computers right now.
What I'm trying to find out is losartan, is it a...
angiotensin receptor blocker. It's an ARB.
It's a blocker.
Okay, yeah.
So it's an ARB instead of an ACE.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a quick break,
right. Okay.
And then we will be back. The doctors are...
sit tight. And
yep,
we
stay right
will,
there, Dale.
Because we're going to be talking about calcium channel blockers, ACE inhibitors, ACE blockers.
All sorts of
all kinds of good stuff
things.
Trying to drop your pressure.
All right. And Joe and Rich, we're going to talk with you in just a moment. Hang on. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and we'll be right back. Last chance. Dr. Mixon, you picked that one out. I know it.
I did.
Yes, yes.
Anyway,
Leading Edge Medicine, taking your calls, 206.
I'm always looking for one more last chance.
One more last chance. Yes, 206-421-5757 for the radio show today is Dr. Mixon. So funny. We're talking about blood pressure medications with Dale today.
Okay.
All right.
I have not used losartan in so many years.
Yeah.
I had to look up the maximum dose. And, you know, 100 milligrams is the recommended maximum dose. Mm. So he's already pushing that as hard as is recommended. So this is what's called an ARB. It's an ACE receptor blocker. And it's to keep you from developing angiotensin effect on your arteries that tighten them down. And so without that, they're supposed to relax and get bigger, and that in turn is supposed to drop your blood pressure, but it's not doing what we want it to do with you. I'm kind of interested in why they chose spironolactone as your second-line drug.
I don't know what they were thinking, but I also have a higher blood pressure from coming off of my lungs. So I've got hypertension coming from my lungs.
Primary hypertension.
Yeah. Mm.
Do you also have some kidney problems?
I do have some kidney problems.
That's why.
That's why.
Yeah. Okay. So that's why losartan, because it's renal protective.
Yes, it is.
And so is the spironolactone. And also it, you know, reduces the load on the heart.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, so what else can we add to bring that down safely?
Yeah.
Well, they tried Mycardis, and Mycardis dropped my, that dropped my pulse to 42.
Uh-huh. A little lower than I'd like it to be, especially if you're trying to jog and run. So, okay, how about we go a little unconventional here then and go with a PDE5 inhibitor, something like tadalafil. And I'd be interested in starting you with the old-fashioned sildenafil first, just because it lasts shorter period of time. And if we got in trouble, we wouldn't have you blocked down for as long. The Tadalis works about 30 to 36 hours. The sildenafil wears off in 3 to 4 hours. And so that's why I'm thinking start with a shorter acting one, just in case, because we don't want to get you in trouble and keep you in trouble a long time. But these are drugs that are actually were designed and approved by the FDA for erectile dysfunction. What they do is prevent you from destroying the nitric oxide your body produces. Nitric oxide is a compound produced in the lining of the arteries, and it's there telling the arteries to relax and expand. But as we age, we make less and less nitric oxide. In fact, by the time we're in our 60s, we're only producing about 6 or 7% of what we produced as a youngster. So the erectile disorder drugs work by taking the nitric oxide the nitric oxide you do produce and prevent you from destroying it. So it sticks around longer, so you get more of it. And it does drop blood pressure. That's one of the primary side effects of these drugs is dropping blood pressure out, and people get dizzy and lightheaded and headachy because the arteries get too big.
Oh.
Okay. And since that's really our goal, we want to expand your arterial tree so that you can pump the same amount of blood through bigger pipes with less pressure.
Okay.
And so it's not really designed as a blood pressure drug, but it's one of those drugs they warn you that if you're taking blood pressure medicine with it, you might get low blood pressure. Okay. Mm. And so we might use that potential adverse effect to our advantage here and see if we can get you to drop your blood pressure, just not as far as would get you in trouble.
I wonder what else they've tried for him.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to bet that internists don't think of PDE5 inhibitors and blood pressure.
For blood pressure lowering? Absolutely not. Why would they?
Yeah, they're thinking of traditional blood pressure drugs.
Yes.
And they think of these as urology drugs.
Right, they do. And there's such a cocktail of antihypertensives out there, you know, by the time they think about something like this, it's way, way, way down on their list.
We all know I do not think in a straight line.
No.
I have trouble following the rules.
Yeah. Do you have any other problems with any of the other regular antihypertensive medications?
I have had some problems with some of the others for taking and lowering my salt to where it was.
But you see, the combination that you're on right now puts you at a higher risk for increasing your potassium levels.
Right.
And that's also damaging to the heart. So I'm sure they're measuring your metabolic.
Well, he's only on 25 of the spironolactone. That's not a big
dose.
But
then losartan does it too.
Yeah, that's true.
So they both do it, right?
So, yeah, so, I mean, if you were my patient, which you are not, and so I can't write your prescriptions.
Well, I will be.
Yes. Hurry, Dale, hurry.
I took the test. I took the initial test and had my blood drawn and had paid for the extra panel, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And because of my gut, why I'm still, I've got celiac and Idiopathic pulmonary hemosiderosis going on,
wow.
too.
So. Okay.
So you got lots and lots of diseases.
I know. Right.
All right. Yeah, so, I mean, if I were treating you with this, what I would probably do is I start you on a very low dose of tadalafil. And I'd start you on 2.5 milligrams a day, just the smallest pill. And I'd give it about a week or 10 days and see where your pressures are. And then I'd maybe step it up to 5 a day. And if that doesn't give me the answer, you know, 10 a day. Because the more we inhibit your destruction of nitric oxide, the lower your pressure ought to go. The other thing we can do, too, is to increase your production of nitric oxide by using some supplements and changing your diet a bit. There are some things you can eat that will help you make more nitric oxide, and there are supplements like Neo40 we can use.
Okay.
So
I have used beets, and I love beets. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and beets do increase nitric oxide production.
Yeah.
The trick, though, is since we are trying to lower your blood pressure on a consistent basis, to use something, because you're not going to eat beets 3 times a day every day. You know,
no.
To use something that you can just take a little pill or a lozenge that you can just chew up about 2 or 3 times a day and help produce more nitric oxide, and then you give you something like the tadalafil to prevent you from getting rid of it as fast so that you can open those blood vessels by an alternate route. So
okay, I thought the tadalafil, that is in the system for like 3 to 4 hours?
3 to 4 hours, and the tadalafil about 30 hours, 30 to 35 hours.
30. Okay,
and 30. So when we do tadalafil, we start much lower doses and we let it build up. You do 2.5 milligrams a day to start with, and then in 24 hours you take another dose, but it's not all out of your system, so you build up a little bit. And then 24 hours you take another dose, and it's still not all out, so you get another little rise. So the point being that gently raises you over a period of several days, so that if we see your pressure dropping too fast, we can stop, all right? And then if after a couple of weeks when we know the dose you're on is not going to do any more, then we step up the dose again, and we follow that for another week or two. Get the idea?
Yep. I just know that I've gotten to the point in my life where it just I can't control it at all, and it just is all over the place. I mean, I've been sitting during these times that I was taking my blood pressure. I'm sitting with my feet flat on the floor, and I'm just listening, like I said, it's just all over. Yeah.
Your pressure bounces up, but that's because when Dr. Umat speaks, you hear that dulcet tones of a beautiful woman, and as a man, your blood pressure goes up. I'm quite sure that's what's happening. And so,
no, he's listening to Dr. Samira. And
you know what Jerry said to the MAs and the phlebotomists as they were drawing blood? Don't sit in the patient's lap. I told you not to increase their blood pressure.
Oh boy.
I don't know.
Sometimes the staff has to give me a little slap.
Then that raises his blood pressure too. So
definitely provides the humor.
Oh boy.
All right.
All right.
We'll be glad to see you as a patient, and let's see what we can do to help, okay?
Yes, Dale.
Right.
We want to meet you.
All right.
Wonderful.
Bye-bye, sir.
Okay, we are going to talk with Joe when we come back from this break. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon. Oh, my. I'm Lynette, and we'll be right back. Stay there. Go, the Rolling Stones. Dr. Umat, you going to make that concert Memorial Day weekend in Seattle?
No. I'm staying away. Did you hear that people are traveling, are flying from the United States to Paris to go to Taylor Swift's concert in Paris because the tickets over there are much cheaper. $350 for front row tickets or, you know, close to the front tickets. And people are saying it's cheaper to watch Taylor Swift in Paris than it is in the United States. So they're flying there, paying for airfare, paying for accommodation, buying the tickets, and it's still cheaper than buying tickets over
there.
That
is crazy.
And you get a little trip to Paris. And
Okay, so my daughter is going. She is on the front row. Not to Paris, to Vancouver. And she paid $400 because I said, what did you pay for those tickets on the front row? Mom, only $400.
Wow.
Only $400.
Yes, I know. And I'm still like more than, but she was front row, Taylor Swift, Vancouver, British, I mean, that's BC, in December. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. She's not flying. So I didn't pay for those tickets. So
where you live, Vancouver's only an hour drive.
That's
anyway.
True. Yeah.
Right.
On a slow day. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, leading edge medicine here.
Sip in and out whenever you please.
Yeah. Maybe your friend can't go and I'll have to go with him. Well, you can come with me. Oh, leading edge medicine. Here we are in the studio and we are going to take another phone call. All right.
Let's do it.
In Silverdale. Good morning. Are you worried about getting your Taylor Swift tickets?
No, not at all.
Neither am I.
Okay, neither am I.
Yeah. You know, I must be really old because I didn't know who Taylor Swift was when I started hearing people.
What?
You're not a Swiftie. Come on. Do you know she's been such a movement in that men are now spending more time with their daughters just because of the connection that she's made with people and families and football.
Yep, and football.
And there, it's been incredible to watch. It's like, oh, my gosh. And you would think it'll be teenagers singing those songs. It's not. It's teeny tiny bops.
Yes.
It's like the 5 and 6 and 7 year old, it was mostly 10 and younger that were singing her songs.
Yep, there you go.
I was like, what happened?
Well, see, I'm not 10 and younger.
There you go.
I'm not 70 and younger.
No.
So, anyway, how can we help you today, sir?
Yes, Joe, what can we do for you?
Yeah, well, Taylor Swift is certainly a phenomenon out there.
Mm-hmm.
Something to be dealt with. I see her on television. That's all I do. Yeah.
See, I don't watch TV either, which is why I'm so out of touch with the world. My recreation is which journal articles am I going to read this evening?
There we go. Which helps for a doctor program, a medical program. Okay,
anyway,
Joe.
Anyway, so, sorry.
Yeah. I did want to thank you for your show and for your clinics. I think it's phenomenal.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
A few years ago, I was feeling really lousy, and I went to my doctor, and he discovered my oxygen level was low, and then he noticed that I had gained some weight and stuff like that, and they diagnosed me with pulmonary edema at the time, and then put me on a regimen of Lasix.
Okay.
And it was so bad that the doctor thought I should get hospitalized for a day just to have them check me out and monitor what's going on, and which I did. And then I shed, actually stayed there 2 days, shed almost 50 pounds of water weight in 2 days.
Okay.
I came out walking and feeling like a new man, actually.
Wow.
And since then, I'm still on Lasix and still, feeling the heaviness or the pain of the symptoms when I don't take the Lasix for one reason or another. I have to go on a trip or something, and I don't want to get caught without a bathroom nearby because you know what that does to the Lasix.
Of course.
So I decided to maybe a day or so. I when I'm traveling, I just take it when I can, lower doses, and right away I'm gaining weight. And right away, I realized the whole thing's come back. I've gone back to the doctor. He says you're looking better. He still sees water on my lungs. And he still thinks you still need to treat it, you know, with Lasix more aggressively, maybe 2 pills a day or whatever. And I'm just wondering if I'm ever going to get over this thing. Is this something that can be cured?
Well, the question is, why are you in pulmonary edema?
Right.
Okay. main cause, number one cause in America is congestive heart failure.
Yep.
Yeah, you just don't have a heart that pumps as efficiently as it should.
Yeah. Do you know your ejection fraction?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Mm. Okay. What has your cardiologist said about it? Are you? I mean, it sounds like you should have both a cardiologist and a pulmonologist with this disease.
Well, I don't. I'm with Kaiser, my general physician treating me, I don't have a specialist. No.
Okay. So have they identified why you've gone into pulmonary edema? Or are they just treating the symptoms? Just treating
weight.
The findings?
Just treating
they
the symptoms, sounds like.
They
he gains weight.
Well,
that's a symptom.
Well, you gain weight, but again, that's because you're retaining the fluid. What I'm asking is, have they identified why you're retaining the fluid?
Well, I've always been heavy. So
okay.
I don't know if it's 40 years of being heavy that's doing this to me, because I've been somewhere between 270 and 300, you know, the last 45
How
years.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'10 and a half.
Okay. So, you know, I want to get you well below 200.
Right.
Okay. Several things come to mind. And, you know, obviously, I don't have your medical records in front of me. I don't have any testing in front of me. I don't have any studies in front of me. So, you know, I'm making educated guesses, not diagnoses. All right.
Yeah. Well, I can add to that a little bit. I am on high blood pressure medication.
Okay.
And I also take metformin for my diabetes.
Okay. Yeah. So I
sleep apnea equipment, and they recently added because I told the doctor, why can't I breathe? And no matter what I do, I wasn't able to breathe because I noticed I bought one of those finger sticks to check my oxygen level again,
yeah.
And I was in the 80s.
Oh my!
And he said, "Well,
that's
awful. Yeah, I know, it was horrible. I thought I bought a bum finger stick." So I said, the thing's not working right. He says, no, it's working. So we need to get you back up. And so oxygen was prescribed, and I'm using oxygen treatment now, and it's helping. I'm feeling 100% better.
But we still don't know why.
We don't know why. We're treating the effects. We're not treating the underlying disease, which is just driving me crazy.
So you haven't had any cardiac workup, no stress test, no EKG, no echo, nothing?
Well, I had the, they did a EKG on me.
Okay.
And they did an X-ray on me, but nothing, no workup like that. No,
darn it.
I mean, he talked about it. He mentioned it. I have to go down to Tacoma or something, because Kaiser doesn't do it here. I have to go to Tacoma Clinic to do it.
No, we haven't gone that far yet.
No, echo can be done anywhere.
Yeah, echocardiograms, every hospital, every major clinic has an echo facility. I can take you half a block from my corporate office here, and we've got freestanding people to do your echocardiogram. I mean, this is crazy. Sir, you need better care.
At the time, they did something kind of. That's what I keep saying. But I'm feeling better. And my oxygen is up in the 90s.
Yeah, but that's better than totally ignoring the problem. But if you don't know why the problem is happening, you can't fix it. And it doesn't sound to me as if anybody is interested in fixing the problem. They just want to treat the effects from the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, damn, there are times I feel like apologizing for my entire profession when I hear people getting treated the way you are.
I can ask. I know they'll treat me. I mean, they want something.
Well, then
there we go. Okay. They have to be their own advocates again, right?
Yeah,
they should be done.
Okay. I'm getting the little circular signal that says it's time for a break. But when we come back from the break, get your pen, get your pencil, get your paper. I'm going to give you a list of stuff that you want these people to do for you, or go find better doctors, one or the other.
Okay, Joe, stay right there. And Rich and Jan, you stay there too. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back. Dancing Queen, I nominate Dr. Umat.
Right, I accept.
Dr. Mixon, you can be the Dancing King. There's just not a song for that.
I know, but the king is old. Can I be the prince?
Okay. Yeah, you would. Yeah, that would work better for you. Leading Edge Medicine back, and we're talking with Joe. Water in his lungs. What can he do? He needs to get some care.
Okay, Joe.
I did remember one thing when I was in the hospital.
Yeah.
A guy did come by with a cart. And he started doing the echo, and it was pushing on my heart and stuff, and it was so painful. You know, he had to get the right depth in order to get the echo.
Right.
And I almost forgot about it. It was horrible, but he did push around there for about 10, 15 minutes, and then it wasn't very comfortable. And then he left, and then I never. Maybe the doctor did come in and say something about it. But I was just wanting to get the hell out of there, to be honest with you.
No, I understand. Mm. But you've got a condition that is going to kill you. If you don't get the proper care, you're going to die from this in the fairly near future. So let's see about getting somebody to pay attention to the things that really need to be done, okay?
Right.
Because congestive heart failure with pulmonary edema has a horrible prognosis. It just does. And so anyone caring for you needs to take this very, very seriously and do everything that can be done to help you recover. So let's get started, at least on your basic testing. All right? Okay. The heart is a muscle. It's just a great big bundle of muscles that have merged into a pump. And diabetics have weak hearts. Diabetics die of cardiovascular disease at a dramatic rate. So several things we know about diabetics and especially obese diabetics. One, your testosterone load is going to be on the floor. I can tell that before I even draw your blood, but you need someone to draw your blood. And you need to kick your testosterone and your dehydroepiandrosterone, two anabolic hormones that help you to make stronger, bigger, more functional muscles. You need to get those in the level of a healthy 25-year-old, not the healthy 60, 70-year-old, okay? So, A, you need to get a testosterone level, total and free. You need to get a dehydroepiandrosterone level. And then you do not just need to get that little piddly patch that they put on to raise you into the normal levels of an old man, because you're going to need a young man's effect on that heart. And the other thing we know about testosterone is it is a stem cell producer. It actually increases the number of stem cells you have to grow and heal and repair new tissue. So testosterone is going to be critical for you, and it needs to be a much higher dose than the usual thing that they give guys. Secondly, you are going to need to get a good echocardiogram. The one they did may be adequate to give us at least a left ventricular ejection fraction. So you need to have somebody pull those records and take a look. And if it's not adequate, you need to get one done that is adequate. We need to know what your ejection fractions are. And we need to find out if you've had heart attacks in the past that you may not be aware of, because not everybody has pain with a heart attack. You can kill a fair number of your heart muscle without having any pain. Okay. So we need to take a close look at that. Another thing is we have got to get your weight down. There is no way in hell you are going to do well at your current weight. This is not a matter of cosmetics. We don't give a damn about your beach body. What we want to do is keep you alive. So, semaglutide or one of its newer congeners needs to be your weekly friend. you need to get on something like semaglutide so that we change your your carbohydrate metabolism and we kill your appetite so that you are eating a lot less and so you're metabolizing it differently so that weight starts coming down. Okay? I want you, at your current weight, I want you dropping close to 2 pounds a week on a regular basis. A year from now, I want you 100 pounds lighter. Where else do we go with this?
That's a good start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good...
What's that high dose?
For testosterone?
What?
When you're talking testosterone, you said something about that.
You need a much higher dose than they usually use. A healthy young man's total testosterone, when you're 20, 25 years old, you run a total testosterone in the range of 1,000. And with the little patches that they normally give older men, they'll get you up to maybe 200, 250, 300 tops. You need to be up around 800 anyway. Okay. So you need to get enough testosterone in your system to get your total up around 800 and your free up around 170, 180. Hell, I'd even run you at 200 for a while to help you get your fat off, shift your metabolism. And then the semaglutide is these newer shots. Your insurance certainly should cover it because you are morbidly obese. It shouldn't cost you anything or maybe $20 a month. Right. But this is a drug that will change your carbohydrate metabolism and kill your appetite. And if you tolerate the side effects, which I'm not going to tell you about because I don't want you to get them because I told you about them, really lose weight. I gave this as a benefit to my employees in my clinic. I've got people that have dropped 40-some pounds in the last 4 or 5 months just because I give it to my employees free because I want them all lean and healthy and happy.
Brand name? That should be asked.
Ozempic
is a brand name. Yeah. But the brand name costs about $1,200 or $1,300 a month, and the generic is about $200 a month.
The generic.
Well, the compound.
Compound.
Yeah.
Compound through.
Yeah, you can get it through some compounding pharmacies. And like I said, I buy a bunch of it and just give it to all my staff that are overweight. It's a benefit of working for Dr. Mixon. He wants you healthy.
So, yes, he does.
That's also the benefit of coming to the clinic.
Yes, it is a benefit of coming to the clinic. And I'll tell you right now, I am afraid that Kaiser is not going to raise your testosterone to the levels you need it to be at. I've never seen a Kaiser doctor use the kind of doses that I think you probably need.
Come back to the clinic, I can get some treatment there.
If you come and see us, we will be aggressive and get you treated.
I know you will.
Okay.
I was there once.
All right. Well, come on back, and we will do our absolute best to make you a strong, fast, lean, smart, sexy, and get you breathing again.
Yes, on your own.
As we possibly can, okay?
So I'll have to basically deal with this. I have to watch this kind of thing for the rest of my life.
Yes, yeah. Whatever's happened to you, whatever has happened to your heart and lungs is probably permanent, but we don't know what it is yet. Okay. But, push comes to shove, I'll get you into my favorite cardiologist. We'll get you worked up. We will find out what's wrong, and we'll do our damnedest to fix it.
Oh, great. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. You take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call, Joe. Wow. Lots of so much good information there. And it's so important to take care of you. I see the passion in your eyes, Dr. Mixon, for wanting to help him and get him better.
I just don't know why the people – this is not a super secret. Nobody's keeping this away from his doctors.
No.
Anyway.
Well, that's it for the show. And Joe, you know what? I'm going to give you that phone number if you're still listening. I bet he is. And the website to call in to make your appointment to, because we want to see you and get you tested and see what's going on and how we can help you at Longevity. Here is that number to call. It is 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website, lmclinic.com, find out where there is a clinic near you, Tacoma, Kirkland, Linwood, and pick a day, pick a time that works with your busy schedule. We want to see you in. We want to see you healthy. And what do we want to see by next year, Dr. Mixon?
Oh, 80 or 100 pounds lighter. I want him dancing in the street.
There you go. Yes, we want him leaner.
Stronger, faster, smarter, sexier, and a hell of a lot happier.
That's right.
Than he is right now.
Absolutely. We will, boy, that's it for this this edition. Have a wonderful Mother's Day and Grandmother's Day and Great-Grandmother's Day tomorrow. I hope you are all celebrated. We will all be back in the studio live next week. If you didn't get through, Rich, Jan, please call us at the beginning of the show next week. We want to talk to you. All right? Have a great weekend, and thank you for listening to Leading Edge Medicine.